and have expectations based upon the deceit of false teachers, based upon the deceit of error being taught from the pulpit, error being taught over the radio, error being taught over television. And our Lord spoke about that in Matthew chapter 7. So we're going to do our study this evening. So if you would take out your Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Have visitors with us this evening. We have several visitors. And just let you know that we are grateful for your presence and thankful that you chose to be here with us this evening. Thankful to God for the word that He gave us. Thankful for the Bible, that we may know His will. And that we can study and we can teach and we can learn without any doubt in our mind. We can know it's inspired, we know it's divine, and we know we can trust it. Also very thankful to Mitchell for grouping me with the young men. You hear that? He put me and Stephan in the same age group, and he backed me up about 25 years. Thank you there, cuz. Let us start in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at three points this evening. We're going to be looking at that choice, what I just mentioned, the expectation, and some deceit. We're going to look at the choice and the expectation first, and we're going to see the deceits right in the middle of these other two points. But we're going to start first with this choice. Matthew 7, verse 13. Let us just read 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. As we start this section, I want you to notice first what we see is our Lord tells them to enter. That these people, we have to make a choice. We have to choose. And that we will choose. And it's not like we're going to say we're not going to make a choice, yeah? The moment you say, I'm not going to make a choice, you made a choice. So you will choose. And our Lord tells us here, enter. Enter. And there is an easy choice. And we see how it's referenced here. He says, he calls it by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. And when we think about that, most people are familiar with gates. Anybody's got cattle, any kind of livestock, you want the gate to be wide so you can get through it. It's not narrow and restricting. Well, our Lord here is talking about a broad gate, wide gate. And I think the idea here is this broad, this wide gate, it's a gate that we can take anything through. We can drag our sin through it. We can drag our family through it. We can drag any of our friends through it. We can drag all of our material possessions through it. Whatever you want to drag through this gate, it's wide enough to take it. Bring it on. Not a problem. Not a restriction. It's easy to get through. There's no qualifications. There's no restrictions. Think about a general admission gate. You go to a concert or go to some sporting event, the wide gates are open that the masses may go through. Over here at the sides, a little small gate. Maybe that's the VIP gate. It's a little harder to get through. It's narrow. It has restrictions. It has qualifications. This gate leads to something. This decision to enter and to go through this gate, it's going to lead us to something. We all need to be mindful that our decisions, regardless of what they are, good or bad, they're going to lead to something. We give people warnings. We give our children warnings. Hanging out with that boy or girl, that's going to lead to get you in trouble. That's going to lead to problems. That's going to lead you somewhere you don't want to be. That's going to lead you into profanity. That's going to lead you into drinking. That's going to lead you into drugs. Decisions lead us somewhere. In this case, this gate, this broad gate, it leads us. And it has a consequence. And what does he say there? It leads to destruction. This choice that's made, this easy choice, the wide gate, the broad gate, it's going to lead to destruction. And this choice, this decision to enter through this wide gate, it's made by many. We'll notice there are many. I can remember having a discussion with a man. How can it be that so many people in this world are wrong? How can it be that we see so many people around us that can be wrong. Our Lord confirms that many go in by it. We just know that's how it is because our Lord said many will go in by it. Many will be there. Many will make the wrong choice. They will choose the broad and the wide gate. They're going to choose to go in. They're going to take it upon themselves. We see the idea of a decision, something that they chose for themselves. They chose to go in this wide gate. Now, they're just not thinking. They're not considering what they're looking at. They're not considering, what does he say, that it leads to destruction. They're not considering that when many are going in this direction, I've heard Donnie say this before, if many are doing it, if many people are doing it, it's probably wrong. It's probably wrong. If you see the majority of the masses doing it, it is probably wrong. And I think our Lord confirms it in this scripture, in this text we're studying. Because when we think of that term, for this reason, they have a reason for their decision. And what is that? This decision is based on a reason. They've looked at something. They have taken some information, something they see, and because of that, they have made this choice. They have made this decision. And why is that? What does the text tell us? Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. You may have a marginal note in your Bible where it says, for difficult, it could be confined. Also, as you look up the meaning of this word, if other translations may call this, they may call it small or hard. Difficult is the way. And I'll tell you, as we think about our Lord saying this, difficult is the way, we have to harmonize the Scriptures. We have to not look at the commands of our Lord as being hard and difficult. But I think what we can conclude is the difficulty is shedding the worldly possessions, shedding the sin, shedding the family, shedding the friends. That's what's difficult. The yoke of our Lord is light and it's easy. The difficulty comes in our selfishness and us wanting to hang on to certain things, certain bad habits, certain practices that we justify in our minds, okay. And it's not what the Lord said. That's what's difficult. If you look right over to Matthew 6, verse 33, our Lord tells us something. In chapter 6, He says, you seek first, we'll look at verse 33 first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. Now back up to verse 25, and we can just take a brief look at what He says from 25 through 32. And He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink, or your body, or food, or clothing. But consider the birds of the air. Verse 26, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, and this is the key thing, knows that you need all these things. And He's going to add to it. If we will let things go, the material things, the selfish things, the things that drag us down, the difficult things, leave those behind and enter through the narrow gate. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. But you first got to let them, you've got to let some things go before you can move on. This gate is restrictive. We've got to let go of our pride. We've got to receive the Lord's instruction. Think about the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:22. What was his one problem? Remember that? Matthew 19:22. Rich young ruler had one problem. He had not, all these things I have done. That's what he told the Lord. Verse 20, he says, what do I still lack? Matthew 19, verse 20, and Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, he had great possessions. You see, the young man couldn't get these great possessions through the narrow gate. You see that? The young man could not get the material possessions that he held so close to his heart through the narrow gate. He couldn't see that this narrow gate leads to something. We can see the broad gate, the wide gate, it led to destruction. But as we look at the narrow gate, it leads to life. And as we think about the text, it leads to life. Is it eternal life? Yes, sir. But is it not leading to life while we're still on this earth, when we decide that we're going to follow the Lord? From my experience and others I know, I didn't have true life, a true enjoyment in life until I decided to let go of the sin and the selfishness and follow the Lord, and then I had true life. I could truly enjoy my life. So I think we can apply both. You choose the narrow gate, and it leads to your life. It'll lead to a better life, a cleaner life, a happier life, a better marriage, a more successful life in many ways. Few who find it. Why do they not find it? And they might not look for it. I think that's the case with a lot of people. They just don't look for it. It's not convenient to them. It's not something they want to do. The broad and narrow gate is, I can just believe. Because some false teacher has told them all you have to do is believe. And that's easy for them, so they look no further. They look no further. They'll stop right there. So why does our Lord say few who find it? Probably because they're not looking. They are not looking. It's difficult to get into certain schools. Some of you college graduates know that. It's difficult to get into the Marines, some of these armed services, special forces. Because of certain criteria, there's requirements. You have to be ready. You have to be ready mentally. You've got to be ready physically. And the same with entering through the narrow gate. There are restrictions and there are requirements, but it is worth the sacrifice. Next, we're going to look to his expectation. We saw a group right here that's made a choice, and now we're going to see a group that has an expectation. Start in verse 21. We'll read 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. First thing we're going to notice again, we saw in verse 13. Many who go in by it. Here is another case of not everyone or many. I think we could use the term many who say to me. That again, we're going to see many people that are not going to be met with their expectation that they desire. The idea that people have today, God is love, and you just have to believe they're going to fall short of their expectation. We can be certain that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is prohibitive by what we read in this text. They shall not enter. It has requirements just like what we saw with the narrow gate. Of those that say, Lord, Lord. And that gives us the idea that we're certain that these people will be religious. We would not have to worry about the atheist or some non-believer saying, Lord, Lord, would we? We would not have to worry about that, but these are going to be people, they're going to be religious people that say they believe. I believe in God. I don't go to church. You know, I don't think you have to go to church. I know a man that says he believes, but he don't think there's no reason to go to church, no reason to attend a worship assembly. So this is going to include the people from the non, from the just the believer all the way through those that attend every worship service, diligent in study. It's this, these people that address our Lord as Lord, Lord, are going to be somewhat religiously minded people. They're going to be those that say. And what will their plea be? When they come before our Lord, what will they say? Have we not? Have we not? And what have they done? Let's look at the work they have done. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Obviously, we can see by these people that they had been busy. Probably for many years of their life, they prophesied, they cast out demons, done many wonders. These people were religious people, and they were active people. Cast out demons. They were working. They were trying to justify, or they trying to justify some wrong in their life by saying, Lord, Lord, have we not? Parents, have you heard that from children or bosses, from co-workers? Well, you know, I've done a lot of good over here. Have I not done a lot of good over here? I've done all these things. Well, you still falling short over here. And we see the same group here. They say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And I'll ask you this evening, do you have, Lord, Lord, have I not attitude? And we need to be mindful of that attitude. And when we go before the Lord, will we try to say, Lord, Lord, have I not? Have I not been to all the worship services? Have I not taught Bible class? Have I not studied? Have I not been a good example to my children? Have I not? Then do we have that problem in us of backbiting, murmuring, gossiping, ripping and tearing at others, ripping and tearing at our brothers and sisters in Christ, undermining the work of the elders, causing problems to the elders, not putting the Lord's work first in our lives and putting the Lord first and put others first and loving first? 1 Corinthians 13, you have not love, you are nothing. If you have not love, you are nothing. And when we stand before our Lord, and have we not? Are we going to have to say that? Are we going to try to have to justify what we've done? And the response we see from our Lord, what He's going to tell them. He says, I will declare, in verse 23, then I will declare. And I'll ask you again, are we ready for the Lord to declare to us all the things we have done? I'm going to try to get that down. Give me just a second. Never fails, does it? There we go. And now I've got to try to pick up where I was. The declaration of our Lord when he answers us, and when we go before Him, and He's going to declare to us. And that should spur concern in our minds and in our hearts, that the Lord is going to declare something to us. He is going to declare every idle word. Matthew 12:36 tells us, but I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word our Lord will declare to us. There will be a separation. He will say, depart from me. And what is even worse, this declaration will contain something else besides depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the Lord's church for 20 years, 30 years, working, studying, trying to have your life right, and then Him telling you, I never knew you. After so many years of service, our Lord saying, I never knew you. After all this time, you thought you was in good standing. And how many people that carry around the title of preacher, pastor, prophet, doing work in the Lord, and He's going to tell them, I never knew you. We've had people in our lives before, something happened, or years go by, and then something tragic happened, they do something that's heinous, and we're like, you know, I never knew that person. I never knew them. I thought I did. And our Lord telling people that are going to approach Him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Sad, sad situation. And there's going to be the reason. Our Lord is not going to leave out the reason. He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This idea of practice, as we think about that, is somebody practices ball, practices band. That we can be guilty of practicing lawlessness. I know some of these are in band, Grant's in band, but practicing, that's kind of a routine, isn't it? Do that quite often, 2 or 3 times a week. Do you know what these people are guilty of? Practicing lawlessness 2 or 3 times a week. Guilty. Guilty of whatever sin it would be. And whatever lawless act it is, of going against what our Lord has told us. That lawlessness is a disregard to His law. Now I say you can have out of ignorance, or it can be out of disobedience. The disobedience, there's people that try to help you with that, but the ignorance, everyone would want to help you with that. The disobedience is a lot up to you. Most of the disobedience is up to you. You can say that. I think we're safe to say that. But out of the ignorance, you can study through that. And if there is a point in your life where there's some things you don't understand, some things you disagree with, there are men and women here that I know will sit down and study with you and try to get that straight in your mind. Because we don't need to practice lawlessness out of ignorance. We don't need to do it out of disobedience either. That's far worse. But the ignorance can be corrected. Now let's look at 15 to 20. I want you to notice, as we look through 15 to 20, he talks about the narrow gate, 13 to 14, and then 21 through 23 talks about the never knew. And he puts right in between these sections, these few verses about a false prophet. And he tells us to beware. And I have to think, as I was studying through this, that the false prophet has something to do with the people entering through the wide gate due to their false teaching. And the false prophet has something to do with the people that think they're going before the Lord and they're ready to answer to the Lord and they're ready for their entry. And he's going to say no. I believe the false prophet has something to do with that. The false teaching. He says beware. And we know when we see beware of the dog sign hanging on the yard, we don't go in there. We don't even get close. Our Lord's telling us that about this false prophet. He says, you beware. He is very dangerous. And he is false. It's not according to truth or fact. It's not coinciding with what our Lord says. It's not coinciding with the Scriptures. It is false. And he is a false prophet. That prophet is a spokesman of God, or claims to be a spokesman of God, or a teacher of His Word, a spokesman of a doctrine, when we think about a prophet. Someone that comes out with the Bible in hand, teaching from God's Word, but he is twisting and turning the text, taking the text out of its context and misleading people. And he is dressed accordingly. He is dressed accordingly. Anybody in here is familiar with hunting? You put on camouflage and you try to blend in. You put on the camouflage and you want to blend into the background where it's almost impossible for an animal to see. Unrecognizable. And the false prophet is dressed accordingly. Gets up on Sunday morning, puts on his suit and tie, brings his Bible in hand, put him amongst a group of Christians, could not pick him out. There's absolutely no way. Because he is in sheep's clothing. He is unrecognizable by just looking. He talks about spiritual matters. He talks about spiritual things. Seems to always spiritual things on his mind. But you're going to know him by his fruits. And let's see what the Lord said. Let's talk first before we go there. Let's talk about him being a ravenous wolf. We don't need to skip that point. A ravenous wolf. And if we think about that ravenous part and what that means to us, that is like an extreme hunger or an intense aggression, very eager. You've ever watched some kind of documentary, any wild animals attacking another animal for survival? They kill another animal if they may survive. You think of a tiger, or just take his case, this wolf that attacks something. It goes in with an aggression, and that only desire is to kill and devour and rip and tear. That is the idea of being ravenous. And that's what he says about this false prophet. They are ravenous wolves. And I wonder sometimes if do they know it? Do they recognize what they are doing to people's souls? Some do, doing it out of greed to build their church, and some are doing it out of ignorance. Just think that you just have to believe, and they don't understand that they're costing people their souls by not teaching them the truth. But you will know them by their fruits, verse 16. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We will know the false prophets. But it is up to us to test them. And we must test them. Our Lord says we can know, and we can be assured that we can know, that we can tell, that we can judge him by the fruits, the things they are teaching, the people that they are surrounding themselves with, the things that the actions of the people. Test them in every way, each and every way. And we test them by comparing it to the truth, by comparing it to the Scripture. But we can know them, and our Lord tells us that we can identify them. So we must always be on alert. So what have we seen this evening? Matthew 7, 13 through 23, we see people making choices, expectation, and we see the deceit that can happen and the many disappointed souls that will come because of this deceit. If you're here this evening, as I stated, there are many people here that would love to help you if you're struggling spiritually or you have sin in your life, things you don't know about. There are people here that would love to help you through that. They would line up to help teach you through it and help teach you the truth. So we really have no reason, do we? If you're here this evening, you hadn't obeyed the gospel, now's the time. Now is the time. You don't know when your days will end. They could end this evening. They could end tonight. you have sin in your life, you need to make correction, now's the time to do that as well. Correct it now while there's still time. Subject to invitation, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.